This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
No, we're early starting the show, but that's okay. That's from the maybe the best rock and roll album of all time, the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
That was the hip version, by the way.
Yeah, I like the little kind of disco music in the background. Very good. Good morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. Hey, I'm hip. So's Big Ed, my buddy. And along with him, we thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, July the 27th. Wow, moving along, are we not, in this summer? We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Rachel Gresler of the Heritage Foundation about whether the U.S. labor market is all that good right now. That's something the Biden administration continues to tout, that things are not as bad as you think they are. So we'll talk with her about that. And Attorney General Merrick Garland refusing to rule out prosecuting Donald Trump for the January 6th Capitol riot. Notice I didn't say insurrection. A Capitol riot. Should Garland get off that horse and ride another one now? Well, we're going to ask the proprietor of the Barber Poll all about it, Andrew Ceraci, along with a few other things. So stay tuned for that a little later in the show. And is the diversity and inclusion requirement in some American colleges starting to lose its steam? You know, there's a big, you join the faculty and all of a sudden you're presented with this document, in many cases, about diversity and inclusion, and you're kind of required to sign it. So we're going to take a look at all of that a little bit later in the show. And in our ultimate top 10, I'm going to like this one myself, the top 10 best TV shows of the 1950s. So we will stay tuned for that as well. All right. So a lot is going on. I see the Hunter Biden story is coming up again with the Iowa Republican Senator Chuck Grassley saying, is the FBI covering up that whole thing? The FBI. Well, of course, it's a part of the executive department. And who's running the executive department? It's the father. It's the father. I mean, this is a great movie, is it not? The president's running the executive department while the FBI and all of these people are supposed to be investigating his son. And they're supposed to be investigating his son for funneling money to his father with his connections to Russia, the Ukraine, and China. And I think places in the Mideast. This guy's, he's been all over the world sucking money out of different governments. So, what's going on with the FBI, right? Or the Attorney General, for that matter. They're all under the watchful eye of Joe Biden. So, with all that being said, here's a new poll, and this is from CNN, okay? 75% of Democrats want somebody other than Biden in 2024. 75%. So it's not just Republicans that think something's wrong with this guy. Three quarters of Democrats see a little problem. They don't think Biden can win in 2024. Well, you know what? I'm wondering if this number is right, because here's what it says. 24% of Democratic and Democratic-leaning voters said they want someone else because they don't think Biden can win in 2024, which is up from 18%. So I stand corrected. 32% feel that way because they don't want Biden to be reelected, up from 16% earlier this year. 25% they said they prefer Biden as the nominee. All right, so maybe I'm right. It is 75% total. It's 75% total. All right, now we got it figured out. This poll, CNN poll, shows a sharp downturn in enthusiasm for a bid by Biden. In January and February, the same polling, 51% of Democrats and Democratic-leaning voters said they wanted somebody other than Biden. So I guess I'm right. It's 75% now. That's pretty scary. I think Biden should take a message. The only thing is, we got Kamala Harris. Uh-oh, maybe we better keep Biden. We got one that's a little bit, let's say, at a loss for thinking, and then we've got another one that is at a complete loss for thinking.
Let's think about that for a minute.
I don't want to.
Well, would you not agree that Biden's doing everything he's being told to do? I mean, this is not his idea. If he had his way, he'd be on the porch somewhere drinking iced tea. He wouldn't be running the country. So obviously, someone else is pulling the strings. If he has
to pull on the wrong strings.
Oh, I know that. But if he has to go and they put Kamala in there, they're going to do the same thing. Unless she goes rogue and goes the other way, which would benefit the right. Would it not?
Yeah, I never thought of it that way. Do you think she might?
Well, how could they do any worse than what he's doing? How could they do any worse? He's doing basically everything. It's just that when he goes out, he fumbles his words. But she does the same thing.
Yeah.
So what's the difference? Now, what are they afraid of? That she might go off on her own and say, you know, I don't agree with this, and I want to do this, and I think we should open up the pipeline back. You know, is that what they're truly afraid of?
Do you know how quickly
and
they
would... And everybody would be like, yeah, Kamala, go!
That would be going rogue. Yeah. I think it's a wonderful dream, and I would love to take the whatever medication you're taking so I could think that way.
I mean, what are they afraid of? Yeah. How much worse can she do than him?
I hear you. You would think that she would have somewhere in there some sense of, because she's not that old, so she doesn't have this where am I thing. She knows where she is. But could she react quickly enough to a major catastrophe? You know what I mean?
Well, could Biden?
No.
I mean, come on.
Biden can't. So no. I'm asking you if you think that maybe because
we're
she's
in the same boat with the same oars.
So you think that even though she's younger, she can't react as quickly?
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think so.
All right. Well, then we don't want her either. I don't know what we're going to have.
I'm just wondering what they're afraid of.
I think they don't know what they want.
I mean, if they had their way, they'd put her in there for the next 2 years, let her fall on her face, and nobody will vote for her, and they can bring someone else in. They don't want her anyway.
They wouldn't get the chance.
They don't want her to run anyway.
No,
right?
I agree.
So
no,
put her in there and let her fall on her face and get her out of the way.
That guarantees the Democrats wouldn't be running the White House after that. Let's put it that way. All right. Anyway, no problem. Speaking of Biden, he is expected to have a call with President Xi of China this week. I hope that he's able, speaking about being able to not fumble the ball, get on there and remember who he's talking with. I don't want him calling Xi and somewhere in the midst of the conversation asking if he could quickly send a pepperoni pizza with extra cheese, you know, because he might lose his train of thought. And that would be offensive to Xi. He certainly wouldn't send any pizza. So anyway, this is apparently, according to the White House National Security Council for Strategic Communications, this is one of the most consequential bilateral relationships between the United States and China. So I hope that they can make a good call out of it. They could not give a specific date and time when this call will be made. They got a lot to discuss, but I just can't see Biden pushing he's not going to push anything. I don't think he pushed much when he went to Saudi Arabia. So he'll get on the phone, you know, really. He'll just get on the phone and make nice chat with the guy. And he'll look up and they'll say, okay, Mr. President, that's enough.
And what really comes out of these Zoom calls?
No.
It's like dating. When it's all done, nothing's going to happen anyway.
Yeah. I wonder, wouldn't it be great to televise the call? Or at least hear it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't.
I know. I know what you're thinking, but I would like to hear it anyway.
Not that we have any secrets trying to know about.
All right. Listen, we're going to change gears a little bit, but we're going to talk about the labor market. Is it really as good as the Biden administration is touting? We're going to talk with Rachel Gressler of the Heritage Foundation and find out what she thinks.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a Wednesday and delighted to have you with us. By the way, in an economy that has produced the highest inflation rate since 1981, listen to this, nearly 40% of consumers cannot put any money at all into savings. They don't have any money to put into a savings account. That's a recent analysis by the American Consumer Credit Counseling people. As of June, 48% of consumers said the rising cost of basic necessities have impacted their lifestyle. So here comes the Biden administration, and they're talking about a great labor market. What? And they seem to think that people feel as good as they want them to feel. We've got Rachel Gressler with us. She is a senior research fellow on budget and entitlements at the Heritage Foundation. Rachel, you did a little piece in the Arkansas Democrat Gazette on this whole bit about the Biden administration trying to tout how good things are in the labor market. What conclusions have you come to?
Well, there's a lot that's going wrong right now. I mean, there's out-of-control inflation, there's supply chain struggles, the crisis at the southern border, foreign policy concerns, exploding energy prices, rising crime, and there's a high likelihood that we are either already in or soon will be in a stagflation, an inflationary recession. So it makes sense that Democrats and the Biden administration are looking at the labor market, which by many metrics appears to be quite strong, but that's not actually the whole story here. You know, things like a half-low century unemployment rate and high nominal wage gains and 11.3 million job openings, which is actually two jobs for every unemployed worker, those things sound great, but they didn't happen naturally. They were the result of artificial things induced through bad government policies that have then had a lot of unintended consequences that we're experiencing right now.
Right. Now, we had a period of time during this pandemic where we were getting checks. That kept people from going back to work. And so all of a sudden, after the checks stopped, then the people started going back to work. And I got the impression that the Biden administration was saying, look, we're creating jobs. And I'm thinking, no, you're not creating jobs. You pulled the money plug, and people are finally going back to work. They're going back to old jobs or whatever. Am I right about that?
Yes, and it's not even what the Biden administration is making it say. You know, they claim that they've recovered all of the private sector jobs. Yes, private sector total job is up by a tiny bit. Total employment is actually still down by 750,000. And that doesn't account for the fact that the population ages 16 and over has grown by 4.2 million. We should have 3.3 million more people working today than actually are. So, yes, some of those people came back when they pulled the plug on the welfare without work benefits, but there's actually millions of them who still haven't. And the most troubling part is it appears to predominantly be young workers, ages 20 to 24, who probably got accustomed to a lifestyle of not working and who are still not coming back.
Right. So now we got the Fed, I guess, is going to raise interest rates again. They're raising interest rates to stop. Yeah, because they want to stop the inflation and too much money chasing too few goods idea. So we're going to. So I guess what I'm asking you is, and then I hear the Biden administration saying, "No, we're not in a recession," even though we've had two quarters of GDP, drop. Is anybody buying this?
No, I don't think they are. You know, for political reasons, of course it makes sense that the Biden administration doesn't want to use the R word 3.5 months before a midterm election. But the average American knows exactly what the state of the U.S. economy is. I mean, they're $3,400 poorer since Biden took office. Their paychecks have gone up, and yet they can afford $3,400 less. You know, the stock market's gone down 18% over the last few months. Home prices have surged even as interest rates are climbing. And inflation's costing the average household $6,000 over the past year. Regardless of whether or not the administration acknowledges that we are likely in a recession, the average American is experiencing those things, and it's not good for them.
No, it's not. I mean, this is like the worst of all things. Now, the one thing I guess I've noticed is gas prices around here are dropping. Which is kind of nice, and you know, nobody tries to follow the bouncing ball. So I guess most people, you know, when you pull away the whip, it feels good, and the whip has been pulled away a little bit, so they're going, oh, good, you know, gas prices are better. And of course, the Biden administration is trying to take credit for that. I don't think they've done a damn thing that would make it go lower directly, but maybe what's going on with gas prices right now?
Yeah, I mean, gas prices fluctuate a lot, and you know, some of it has to do with international policies and some of it is within the U.S. You know, the administration has not done anything to significantly.
They haven't opened up any more pipelines or finally said, you know, we're going to expand our fracking or anything like that. They haven't done any of that. They haven't reduced regulations to my knowledge.
No, they're still pursuing their war against affordable and abundant energy.
Yeah. So they're not doing anything, is what I'm trying. Is there something?
No, they're going to take credit for that. But, you know,
go ahead.
We pay for more than just gas. I mean, groceries, travel, families and parents that are now facing the costs of purchasing school goods and new clothes for the upcoming year. I mean, everything else is rising too. Home prices, affordability of housing. You know, gas is an important component of it, and it's something that we need to stay on top of going forward because the administration's policies will continue to keep prices higher than they otherwise should be. Even if they go down, they should be going down even more if the administration would let up on, you know, its war against affordable energy.
Yeah, why doesn't somebody in the Biden administration, we talk here about the fact that Biden is kind of controlled by other people, why doesn't somebody just kind of poke their head up and look and say, hey, folks, if we actually did make a push to allow the energy companies to do more fracking and we actually did open up these pipelines or allow them to be constructed, it will bring the price of gas down and we would suffer, not suffer, but reap the benefit of having done that. Why can't any of them, why are they afraid to do that, do you think?
You know, I'm not in the weeds of energy.
No, I know you're not.
But it seems completely nonsensical to me.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't understand it.
It's because, of course, that they, many of them absolutely detest the idea of drilling for any product that might cause any kind of pollution. And they really are, I think, Pollyannish about the Green New Deal. I think that's probably a goodly portion of it. They're so, I don't know, stars in their eyes about that. So maybe that's the thing. But in the meantime, we're all suffering. And so you did this piece here about the labor market, and you've very well written. Is there any light at the end of the tunnel coming, or is this a very long tunnel and we don't see no stinking light right now?
There's a lot of uncertainty. One thing that is certain is that this recession, if we are in one now and entering it, will probably be unlike others. We have never had such a high level of job openings and an apparently strong labor market, and yet everything else going in the wrong direction in this surging inflation. And so while the labor market could help cushion things a little bit, that's really yet to be seen whether or not that's going to be the case. And of course, the labor market itself is adding to the inflationary cycle. You know, when employers have to pay people more just to get them to walk in the door and do the exact same thing, that contributes to the rising prices.
That's right.
That's exactly what we're seeing here.
And of course, that's passed on to the consumer.
It is.
Yeah.
That's exactly what the businesses are telling us. You know, almost 50% of business owners in June said that they are increasing their compensation, and another 28% said they plan to increase it over the next 3 months. So all that signals is that even instead of 9.1% inflation, we're likely headed towards double-digit inflation.
Oh, I can't wait. You know, also, I just realized, even though I see the price of regular gasoline going down, I look over at the diesel pump, it's like $2 more.
Oh, you're telling me. I drive a Sprinter van.
Oh, okay.
Diesel. And
oh, my goodness.
$20 to fill up.
How much?
$120.
Oh, my goodness. I don't feel so bad, Rachel. But that's terrible. That's just and it's trucks that run on the diesel too, right? So
it is, and that's a lot of the supply chain, and that's why it contributes to the cost of goods and even agricultural things. I filled up, you know, the gas buckets for our tractor the other day, and it was $80.
Oh my God!
Tractor
for a little tractor, or not, maybe not so little, but still.
Well, no, it's a little tractor.
It is a little tractor. Okay. Well, I don't know what we're going to do. I guess it looks like, in a few months we're going to have a tsunami when it comes to, I think it's going to be a huge turnout, especially on the Republican side. There's a chance that the Republicans could say, grab the House, possibly grab the Senate. But what difference will it make if Biden vetoes anything they try to do in terms of, you know, opening up the spigot a little bit for energy and the like? Or do you think that Biden would see the light, or the people behind him would see the light, so that if legislation came along in Congress that said, let's open the spigot, they might go along with it?
I don't think the administration is going to budge much. And so that's the problem, is that over these next 2 years, while Republicans can definitely lay the ground, can get the legislation in place that they'll need to enact once they can get a conservative administration, not much will probably come in terms of relief over these next 2 years.
Yeah.
So it could be a long slog.
Well, as you said, if lawmakers want to be able to tout metrics like a good labor force, they got to start removing the government-imposed barriers that they've created for work and productivity. Rachel, thank you so very much again for being with us. Look forward to talking with you, obviously, down the road.
Thank you, Paul.
Okay. Rachel Gressler. Let us take our break. When we come back, Attorney General Merrick Garland refusing to rule out prosecuting the Donald for that January 6th Capitol riot. Should he stop doing that? Doesn't he have other things to do? What about Hunter Biden? We got all kinds of things for the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceraci.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
What's the buzz in Tampa Bay? Senior Voice America Radio, a unique morning variety program delivering the latest commentary on politics by host and political analyst Tim Bryce and the up-to-minute happenings of Wall Street by co-host and financial veteran Berkley Badger. Beyond politics and finance, they scale the scholar's rampart by including topics on religion and nutrition with thought-provoking guests and interviews. Tune in every weekday from 8 to 10 a.m. on this Tan Talk station. Senior Voice America, serving our nation's seasoned citizens for over four decades.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Wednesday with Freedom Works, and we thank you very much for tagging along with us. So now even C-SPAN is talking about Hunter Biden. And when I see C-SPAN, a very left-leaning call-in show called Washington Journal, making that a topic, I know Hunter Biden might be in some trouble. I guess finally, maybe it's too late because we should have known a lot more about this before the last election, but finally they're starting to talk about it. House Republicans are demanding answers from Biden's son's financial advisor. Guy's name is Ed Pruitt. He's not your financial advisor, Ed, is he? Ed Pruitt? You don't know.
His son is.
So Hunter's been under federal investigation for about 45 different things, including his tax affairs, his foreign transactions, and all that other stuff. Meanwhile, Joe has repeatedly denied knowing anything about it. You know, I'm beginning to think that might be true because, you know, Joe Biden doesn't seem to remember anything. So why would he remember anything about his son's dealing? I mean, come on, let's be honest. You know, maybe he doesn't. In the meantime, Attorney General Merrick Garland not ruling out the possibility of prosecuting Donald Trump for the January 6th, 2021 little riot at the Capitol. He sat down on Nightly News for an interview, asked if indicting Trump would create further division. Garland said the Justice Department will, here's what he said, will pursue justice without fear or favor. Without fear or, we intend to hold everyone, anyone criminally responsible for those events, for any attempt to interfere with a lawful transfer of power. And away we go. So, of course, he's not going to do anything on the Democratic side, just on the Republican side. So we've got the proprietor of the Barber Poll. Andrew, it does sound like maybe there's a little bit more focus on Hunter Biden despite the executive department turning their back on it.
Well, Paul, first of all, nothing's going to happen. I don't care what they do. But they can arrest him, they can sentence him. What's his father going to do? He should pardon him.
Yeah,
right?
I guess he could pardon him. I'm trying to think if you can pardon your own son. That would look pretty bad, wouldn't it?
Who cares? Everything they're doing looks bad. Yeah. Don't bother.
That's true. But, I mean, we got pictures of Hunter and his father and those Burisma Energy characters.
Of course.
At a golf course together. They were playing golf.
Yeah, that's all they were doing, though.
But Biden is going, no, I don't know anything about him. Never met him. How does he get away with that?
He's got the perfect excuse.
He doesn't remember anything.
That's right. What do you call it? Alzheimer's. I didn't know I had this. Now I know.
Oh, yeah. You know, actually, that would work.
And then you got this idiot Garland who want to go after Trump.
Yeah.
Paul, it's all a diversion, Paul. And let me tell you something. The people will not stand for it.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face the facts. First of all, Pelosi is the one that's responsible for it all. She was in charge of the security.
Mm-hmm. She wants to say that she wasn't.
Well, she could say whatever she wants. It's just like the White House is changing the rules about being in a recession.
That's true. Yeah.
Okay.
And why don't they call Nancy Pelosi to testify before that so-called January 6th committee? Isn't she an integral part of that whole thing?
She says she doesn't want to. That's all that counts.
I guess so.
That's it for Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, speaking of her, and I must give her some credit, if she decides to go to Taiwan, if she actually decides to get in a plane and fly to Taiwan. Now, she's been a proponent of Taiwan. That's about the only thing I can think of that maybe might be a little bit of a positive.
Let me ask you any questions. Are there any new companies open up over there?
In Taiwan?
Yeah, she might want to be scoping them out for her husband to invest in.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe that's why she wants to go.
Okay.
I didn't think of that.
Of course you didn't. You don't think like I do.
No,
You're nicer than me.
No, Paul. I don't think so. I just didn't think of it that way. But you know what? She might be trying to make a buck. In the meantime, speaking of making a buck, she and her husband are making all kinds of bucks with their inside trading information. My goodness. And they let her get away with it.
Making her kids rich, Paul. You know, how long does she got? She's 82 years old. What's she going to do with it all?
Yeah, I guess she's going to give it to her kids.
That's it. Paul, there's so much going on in this country. It's falling apart. Listen, you know how you know it's bad, Paul?
How?
When I've got customers coming in here that are older and retired, they've been retired for 6 to 7 years, saying, Andrew, I got to go find a part-time job.
My God, yeah, you're right about that.
I hear it every day, Paul.
I know. I know you do. And, you know, it's very, very scary. Go ahead. Yeah.
Put me on the phone with Mr. Biden and his people. Because I'll tell you what, come and watch in my barbershop, and you hear these old guys. I'm going to say 3 out of 10.
That is scary. You know, it's also because a lot of people, as they got older, let's be honest, they weren't saving up for old age. They were hoping that somehow...
No, Paul, I'm talking about people that have worked for companies for 30 years, or retired, have a pension. You know, Paul,
yep.
Social Security always seems to be running out of money. $2.6 trillion worth of IOUs in it, isn't it, from the government?
Oh, yeah. There's nothing in the so-called trust fund. It's IOUs.
Okay.
It's always been that way. Always.
Now, we're sitting here, and these poor people can't get a 1% increase on Social Security. But how come all I hear is Social Security is running out of money? But welfare gets 3 times more than the average person does on Social Security, more benefits than people on Social Security, but they never run out of money and never paid a dime into it. How is that?
I know. And here's another thing. We just keep printing money.
Oh.
I mean, think of it. Has anybody's taxes really gone up to pay for all of the additional spending? No, they haven't. So what's happening? They're printing money. They're printing money. And they're not being responsible for it. So all those welfare programs and all the money we're sending to the Ukraine or wherever we're sending it, is not, there's no backing. You know what I mean? I'm beginning to worry about that as well.
That's right, Paul. What did we send? $70 billion to the Ukraine already?
Yeah, we spent a great deal of money over there.
What other country sent $70 billion?
I think a lot of people are sympathetic to that situation because the Russians are crushing a lot of innocent people. But can't some of these other countries send a goodly portion of money besides us? Why is it that we have to do the lion's share of that? Just because everybody thinks we're Big Brother? Well, maybe we shouldn't be Big Brother anymore.
Big Brother's broke.
Exactly.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
The bank is empty. You can't tip it over and shake it more.
I know.
But yet the people want more freebies here. Nobody wants to go to work except the old people that have to. That's amazing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
The old guys, I cut their hair, want to go to work or work a part-time job. The young people don't want to do nothing.
Yes, you're right. Well, that's because older people had that sense of responsibility instilled in them from their parents. And I'm not quite sure that the younger generation has quite the same sense of responsibility. But, you know, that's kind of a broad stroke on that one as well. Hey, I want to change topics with you a little bit and get into our Florida politics a little bit more. We had Kevin Hazlett with us on Monday. I had a very good interview with him. The 13th District, which includes our area here, including Clearwater and St. Petersburg, a goodly part of Pinellas County, is a very interesting race. Charlie Crist, the current congressman, is abandoning the position to lose to Governor DeSantis in that race. So, what do you think? I know you like Kevin Hazlett. Do you think he's has a shot at with Anna Paulina Luna and the Mackey character?
I think he's got a shot. I think, you know, especially in this area, because he's a very popular person, the people like him and know him.
Mm-hmm.
Anna Paulina Luna marketed herself. She should be into marketing, the heck of politics. She marketed herself well, but she's got nothing to stand on. And, you know, people believe this stuff. Well, that's up to them. But if you want to vote for Anna Paulina, you may as well just vote for the Democrat. At least you know what you're getting. With her, you don't know what you're going to get, and I believe what you're going to get with her is another AOC.
That would be scary.
Well, you better face it. That's a good possibility, buddy.
Yeah. No, I don't think we want any of that. We don't want any of that.
Look at the record. Look at Kevin and look at her.
It's too bad that
Trump... born in Clearwater.
But it's too bad that Trump endorsed Anna Paulina Luna, and it sounded like, when I spoke with Kevin Hazlett, that he kind of jumped the gun on the endorsement rather than wait a little while. And yet DeSantis is not making any Ron DeSantis, our governor, I don't think he's made any endorsement.
Well, he's made endorsements and everything, but not for District
13. Well, that's what I meant, for District 13.
No, yeah. He hasn't made no endorsements yet.
Okay.
And whether he will or not, I don't know, because of the situation with Trump. But I think... See, I don't understand why Trump has endorsed some of these people we know that are losers.
Yeah.
And
I don't know either.
I read a couple articles that say he's really upset, and, you know, maybe he's just sabotaging the Republican Party.
I don't know.
You know, I don't know either.
Okay. Yeah.
He was saying that the governor's race in Arizona, he sabotaged big time, I believe, the one I'm hearing.
I'm just thinking... He gets his fingers into a lot of this stuff, and it sounds like it's 99% he's going to run again. And if you look at the polls, he's way ahead even of the closest guy is Ron DeSantis, but Ron DeSantis is
way behind
in second place. And then nobody else after Ron DeSantis even hardly measures.
That's right. So I don't understand what he's doing. If you're planning on running... Why wouldn't you back people? Just like with District 13. Back Kevin Hazlett. You know he's going to work with your Republican governor who's doing a great job, okay, instead of fighting what's going on. Why would you, Dr. Oz, why would you do this guy Vance? Why would you mess up the governorship in Arizona? I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah. It just seems in a way, and again, I've loved the things that Trump got done, but he's a very petty man. And if you insult him or he feels like you've done something that goes against him, he never seems to forget.
Well, the thing he's doing with, as far as I'm concerned, is cutting his nose off to spite his face if he's going to run in 2024.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make sense?
Yes. Yeah. I think he should be very diplomatic. Well, that's going to be hard for him, but be more diplomatic. You know, when he wants to, he can be a very likable man.
Of course.
He can get along with people. I mean, he can be a very gracious and likable man. But then he's got that side of him.
Well, like I said, if you're planning on running in 2024, you're sabotaging yourself with the people you're endorsing. And if you're not planning on running, the one that's going to run, you're sabotaging with the people you're endorsing.
Do you think there is any kind of a feud between Trump and DeSantis?
Not from what I understand at all. Not from what I understand. And like I told you, I'm pretty close to that situation.
Yeah, you are. You know the family.
You know, politics are good to let people wonder what's going on sometimes.
Yeah. Is there anything further that we need to know about whether Governor Ron DeSantis is considering a run?
Paul, it's like I told you. I heard from the grapevine he's definitely running, and then I hear that he's not. So
yeah.
His guess is as good as mine.
Yeah. And he's got a couple of years before, you know, not to worry about it.
Yeah, and like I told you, I'd rather see some Trump step into this mess and straighten out. The guy is a brilliant businessman. Look what he did do. And he's, I believe he's the only one that could bring it back in the next 4 years and then let Ron run, and he could take over without doing what Biden did. You know, he can continue to keep going on what Trump straightened out from this mess.
You know, on the Democratic ticket, let's just be honest. I don't think Biden's going to run again. I don't think Kamala Harris is going to win the nomination.
I told you it was going to be Governor Gruesome.
And Governor Gruesome out of California, he's the guy I'm thinking might have the best shot at. What about Buttigieg?
Well,
what
if he runs? Forget about it. It ain't going to happen. Even the Democrats will be upset.
If he became president, and he calls his husband, what would he call his husband? Would it be the first husband?
The first man.
Okay. I don't think we want that scenario, do we?
But you know, you're forgetting one person.
What?
Now, if Charlie loses the governor's race in Florida,
Charlie Crist,
that leaves him open to run for president.
Oh, good.
So, you know, they got Governor Gruesome, they got Charlie Crist. Val Demings.
I know Charlie thinks a lot of himself, but I think he's not that crazy.
Well, hey, he got engaged again.
Yes.
So that's a prerequisite for him.
Well, that's true. So he'll be ready to roll in the race, correct? He'll be, maybe he won't get married, but he'll just say he's engaged. Did you think of that?
That's camouflage.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, it is always a pleasure to talk with you, Andrew, and I thank you so very much, as usual, and I'm looking forward to whatever the heck we're going to talk about on Friday.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Good day.
You too, my friend. Thank you. All right. He's always got some interesting ideas. Does he not? Yes, he does. All right. We are going to take our break. When we come back, is the diversity and inclusion requirement in some American universities these days, is it starting to wane? Starting to lose steam? We are going to take a look.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to TAN Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on TAN Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment, Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, we're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the network, and we hope you're able to listen, but we know you're busy. So thanks to Big Ed, all of our shows are there for you on our website in podcast form. All you got to do is go to ourfreedomworks.com, ourfreedomworks.com. Click on the podcast button. You'll get your choice of all the shows. Just you'll see who the guest is and the top 10. Hey, you can make a day of it. Ourfreedomworks.com. All right. So some universities across the country requiring compliance from their staff and faculty in the form of signed diversity, equity, and inclusion statements as conditions for tenure or promotion. Now, isn't that a way of stifling free speech on campus? Think about it. If you've got to sign a requirement about diversity, equity, and inclusion, it's kind of stifling your own feelings. Isn't higher learning supposed to be about encouraging speech, no matter what? Wouldn't we not want to encourage all sides to be able to talk without fear of being stomped on if they do? Apparently not. However, there may be some growing pushback on DEI in some areas, not only from faculty, but parents as well, who claim that the diversity, equity, inclusion agenda challenges the diversity of viewpoints. And some say it promotes a culture of fear and intimidation. For example, Seattle, 40% of the University of Washington's faculty recently rejected or abstained from voting on a measure that would have required faculty seeking advancement to provide a statement demonstrating their support of diversity, equity, and inclusion. I mean, doesn't that make you think of, you know, you will sign this document and you will make your statement, or you will not get paid, or we will see you somewhere else, we will line you up against the wall. I mean, this is so crazy. But this is what this whole thing has become. Ah, my goodness. I hope that, and it's starting at the school boards as well, right? These meetings with the parents showing up, I think it's a good thing. We just got to keep praying that people keep taking that active involvement. All right, before we get to our top 10, Ed, I don't know what's going on these days in sports. I've seen a couple of football players that have passed away recently. It's kind of sad. There's a lot of people passing away recently, but is there anything that we need to know in any of the sports, baseball or not?
Bucks open camp today, so all the camps around the NFL are now open.
Okay.
Take our minds off the Rays.
Yeah, the Rays are kind of stumbling a little bit.
They stink. I'm telling you, by the end of the year, they'll be at the bottom of the division.
Oh,
they're falling
that
fast.
Bad, huh?
So they just stink.
But you were saying they got so many injuries, too. They have an excuse.
They got injuries and a lot of overachievers, too. They're going to need to make some decisions, too.
Yeah, well, it's wait till next year.
Yep.
Okay, no problem. I guess we can get to our top 10. We can talk about some of these shows. We have some time left. Let's do that. Let's go to the top 10. You don't remember most of these shows, but you've seen reruns, right, Ed?
Do I remember
them? In
the
50s.
My parents didn't even meet in the 50s.
When did your parents meet?
In the early 60s. So, no, I wouldn't know these shows.
You wouldn't know these shows at all. Even
well, maybe a rerun here or there, too.
All right,
you know.
So I won't be too upset if you don't know number one show, then. Yeah. All right. But here we go. These are the top 10 best TV shows of the 50s. It's from IMBD.com. And I remember, I'm looking down the list, and I remember every one of them. I think you'll know some of them. All right, here we go. Number 10. The Roy Rogers Show. It ran from 1951 to 1957. Did you ever see any reruns of that?
No.
They had a dog named Bullet.
No.
Uh-huh. And they sang Happy Trails to You.
Very good.
You don't know anything. You don't know what I'm talking about.
Only thing I know about the song Happy Trails, Imus used to play to the end of his
show. Yeah, he did.
At the end of his show.
Yeah, that was their song. Number 9. The Lone Ranger. Did you ever see any episodes of The Lone Ranger?
Maybe.
They made a couple of movies out of it.
Yeah.
And it ran from 1949, to 1957. The guy's name was Clayton Moore. And you know what? After the series ended, did you know that he continued to wear the mask all the time to different events? And he continued. They finally had to tell him he could no longer play the Lone Ranger. He got so old. That's true. Clayton Moore. All right. Number eight. Howdy Doody Show. You've heard of it.
Heard of it.
All right. And that ran from 1947, listen to this, to 1960. That was a long time for a TV show to run, but it was very popular. Number seven. The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. You remember Ricky Nelson, the singer? You don't remember Ricky Nelson,
no.
The singer? He was the son of Ozzie and Harriet.
Okay.
All right. And that show ran from 1952, listen to this, to 1966. That's a long time, too. Number six. Burns and Allen, the George Burns and Gracie Allen Show. Well, you remember George Burns because he lived to be 100 years old.
Sure.
But he was with his wife, Gracie Allen. She was always playing a dizzy dame as his wife. And that show ran from 1950 to 1958.
He was still smoking them cigars at 100, wasn't he?
He was always smoking cigars, yeah.
He made 100, didn't he?
Yeah, that's what I said. He made 100. Yeah. He made 100 and then he died. All right, number five. Tell me you didn't see any Honeymooners. You must have seen
one. By the tail end.
You remember the Honeymooners?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were great. Jackie Gleason and Art Carney. Mm-hmm. They were just great. They ran from 1955 for only 1 year in the form that they ran at that time, 55 to 56. They came back and did another one where they incorporated the Honeymooners inside another show. All right, number four. The Danny Thomas Show. You remember Danny Thomas?
No.
Oh, you remember Marlo Thomas from That Girl?
Heard of him.
Okay. Danny Thomas Show was very popular, 1953 to 1965. Number three, Father Knows Best. That was a biggie.
Yeah, I think we had...
Robert Young?
I think we had to watch that. Yeah.
You remember that one?
Yeah.
It ran from 1954 to 1960. Well, you
well,
weren't...
Well, you watched the reruns.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Number two, Leave It to Beaver. Leave It to Beaver ran from 1957 to 1963, and Tony Dow was the older brother of the Beaver.
Uh-huh.
Tony Dow is in hospice right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they actually came out with a story that said he had passed away. They took the story back and said, no, he's not, but he's gravely ill.
Uh-huh.
So, Tony Dow. There was also a guy, I don't know if you ever watched or heard about him, Eddie Haskell.
Uh-huh.
You remember
heard
that
him,
name?
Yeah,
Eddie Haskell. He was the guy that was the neighbor that would always tease the Beaver.
Uh-huh.
And he was, everybody liked him because he was so, hi, Mrs. Cleaver. He would come in and he would schmooze Mrs. Cleaver a little bit.
Huh.
All right. So we're to number one here, and I'm wondering if you have any idea.
No.
All right, that's right. It's I Love Lucy.
Okay.
That was the number one most popular show of the 50s. It ran from 1951 to 1957. I'm sure you've seen some of those.
Yeah, I mean, that being number one, it would probably be a lot of reruns.
Oh, all the time.
Lots of reruns.
Everybody watched I Love Lucy.
And you got to remember, when I was growing up, we were growing up, TV stations were done broadcasting at, what, 11:30?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so you didn't have overnight reruns.
When I was growing up, a lot of them stopped at 5 in the afternoon. I mean, there was that was really a phenomenon at the time. It really was. All right. Thank you so very much for being with us. We will be back on Friday. Have a great day. And remember that freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3